Karen Middleton is in Australia. Karen, lovely to speak to you again, and thank you for Friday with that insight to one of the biggest stories, that's for sure, of last week. Welcome.
Thanks, Catherine. Nice to be here again.
Another big case today that has been through a legal process and has had an astounding outcome, really. The pardoning of a woman who had been imprisoned for the murder of each of her children. This has been an extraordinary story, Karen.
That's right, Catherine. This is the story of Kathleen Folbig, who was dubbed Australia's worst female serial killer. She's been in jail for 20 years for the deaths of her four baby children. Now, they died over a 10-year period, and she was convicted of the murder of the first three of them, Patrick, Sarah, and Laura, and the manslaughter of the fourth child, Caleb. And each of them died very young, between the ages of either 19 days to about 18 months. And she was found to have been responsible for their deaths. But what has occurred now is science has intervened, and scientific evidence suggests that she shares with two of her children a genetic defect that or genetic variation that can affect the calcium uptake in the heart. And scientists have petitioned an inquiry, which has now agreed with them, to suggest that there is enough evidence to create reasonable doubt with that conviction, that perhaps the children died of natural causes, and that it was just a very strange and bizarre case of a family with this genetic problem. She was released this week after the New South Wales government gave her a pardon. She went to the Central Coast on New South Wales to stay with her friend Tracy Chapman, who's been an advocate, tireless advocate, actually, for her interests for the past 20 years. Tracy Chapman has spoken out publicly about what that experience was like for Kathleen. Kathleen issued a video in the last 24 hours wanting to sort of re-enter the society gently, and she thanked everyone for their support, said she'd never stopped loving the children and grieving for them. And she was extremely grateful for the pardon and for her freedom. They celebrated their first night with pizza and garlic bread, and Kathleen had a Kahlua and Coke, which her friend Tracy says shows she's stuck in the noughties and her tastes haven't moved with the times, and neither has her understanding of technology. She's marvelling at smart televisions and mobile phones and the whole thing. So it's a very strange case, and some people are likening it to a contemporary version of the case of Lindy Chamberlain, who you may recall back in the 1970s was jailed wrongly, as it was found, for 3 years for the murder of her baby daughter Azaria at Uluru. Azaria was later found to have been taken by a dingo. And interestingly, the Chamberlain's old lawyer, Stuart Tipple, has appeared in the media in the last 24 hours. The suggestion now is that Kathleen Folbig will seek to have her convictions officially quashed, which is a step that hasn't been taken yet. And if that occurs, then she may well be seeking compensation. And Stuart Tipple, that lawyer, has been pointing to the New Zealand model, which has an ex gratia payment arrangement based on a particular formula. So we're looking across the ditch at what might occur here in terms of some payment to Kathleen Folbig, who has spent 20 years of her life in jail for a murder that they say actually couldn't be proven.
Back to the story we were talking about on Friday, that landmark defamation ruling, substantial truth in allegations that Victoria Cross winner Ben Robert Smith had murdered unnamed civilians while serving with special forces. What's happened in the days since with the absorption of that finding?
Yeah, well, what happened on Thursday, Catherine, was that the judge agreed to an application from the Commonwealth government not to release his reasons immediately. And that was because this has involved a lot of national security information and people of protected identity, and the Commonwealth wanted to make sure there was nothing, pardon me, in his written judgment, in the extended version, that could inadvertently release protected information. So they were given until Monday afternoon to scour that document and make sure that was the case. So it was released on Monday afternoon, and it's a whopping 736 pages, which tells you this is a judge who has gone to great lengths to dot every I and cross every T in the hope that this does not face dismantling by a higher court. So it's a very interesting judgment, and we're all working our way through it. But at the heart of it, he says that Ben Robert Smith and his key supporting witnesses, particularly four of them, but also a fifth, were not honest and reliable witnesses, that he could not support what they said. He found that it wasn't reliable, Justice Anthony Bezenko, and he couldn't believe any anything that Robert Smith said in relation to the imputations that he was making, arguments he was making about imputations. And he has also found that Robert Smith had a number of motives to lie, and he listed those as the prospect of financial gain from this defamation case, should he have been successful, the need or the desire, strong desire to restore his reputation, given how far he had fallen as a Victoria Cross winner and the most decorated soldier ever in Australian contemporary times, and also his concern to avoid an adverse finding because that could lead to criminal charges being laid. And of course, that is the big question now, aside from what happens to his Victoria Cross and other awards. There is a big question about whether he indeed will face criminal charges. And the judge also found that he had sent threatening letters to some of the serving and former Special Forces soldiers who gave evidence against him. So it was an extremely comprehensive document that we're still working through. And it raises the question of what is the next stage, given we have an Office of Special Prosecutor looking at the allegations of war crimes in Afghanistan and contemplating the prospect of criminal charges against a number of individuals.
A couple of minutes just to discuss a recession warning coming from the Reserve Bank.
Well, recession warning not coming from the Reserve Bank, coming from others watching the activities of the Reserve Bank. Our Reserve Bank board met yesterday and raised interest rates again, which is really applying the thumbscrews to mortgage holders here in Australia. Rates have gone up for the 12th time in just over a year, up to now 4.1%. And that's got economists warning that they may be overplaying their hand. They've been insisting they can get Australia through and back to a more reasonable level of inflation, where our inflation is running at just under 7%, about 6.8%. The Reserve Bank's target range is between 2 and 3, so it's going to take a while to get there. And they have been using this device, the raising of official interest rates, to try and slow the economy. But it hasn't been working, and consumer spending has been holding up. And there's a concern now that we'll have a harder landing and maybe even a recession. So we're finding also the Reserve Bank governor, who's expected to finish up in his job in September because he's been at loggerheads with the government about the whole way these interest rate rises have been handled, is increasingly in a tense position with the government. The bank is independent, but the treasurer is certainly sounding like he's siding with consumers and saying he hopes the bank will explain its decision. Now, the governor is giving a speech today, so he'll have the opportunity to do that, but it's certainly causing more and more pain for mortgage holders here, Catherine.
Oh, we feel your pain. I can't remember what ours is at. I
Yeah.
think it's even higher. But it's interesting. Our bank was quite open about endeavouring to engineer a recession, but they are appearing harder to achieve
Yeah.
than predicted. Although a little bit of a hint of easing or perhaps peaking inflation. We'll wait and see. Karen, always appreciate it.
Well,
Karen
thanks,
Middleton,
Catherine.
who is our correspondent, she is based in Canberra.